I'm going to turn on the recording. This is the showcase for OpenLMIS Sprint 47. So we have a lot of new features to look at today. We're it's the end of February 2018, so we're a month away from this release that's a vaccine-focused release of 3.3. So we only have two sprints left after this, so a lot of things have gotten done. I'm going to give a super speedy version of the normal summary of what's got done this sprint. So Team Parrot got the most points that they've ever, since we've been tracking all this vaccines work, that they've ever gotten done in a sprint done, which is 99 story points. And you guys, looking at the guideline, multiple times you dipped below the guideline. So the team took on a lot this sprint and even pulled in more bugs than they took on and has gotten a ton of things done. I'll actually open this issue navigator link to really quickly show the sorts of things that are done. And, oh, I see there's something in the chat. Oh yeah, okay, Mary Jo says exciting. So there's 27 tickets done that account for those 99 story points. Really quickly, starting at the bottom, a lot of bugs that were pulled in were some of the critical important bugs. So we'll see those. In terms of the stories, the big features done, they were all over the different epics related to vaccine work. So the vaccine stock-based requisition and receiving and resupply and forecasting and estimation and fulfillment, like one of every epic there. So we'll see a lot of those tickets. And then in the tasks section, there were some tasks for receiving. A few tasks were just cleanup, but then a lot of tasks for the emergency requisitions redesign. So that was the big thing that was done this sprint that wasn't just for vaccines or wasn't as much targeted for vaccines. It affects all of emergency requisitions. So we have a lot to look at. From Team Ill, we got 7 tickets done, including some bugs that we had been pulling in as well. So it's good to keep working on bugs because we're a month out from release. In terms of the sonar stats, all 21 projects are passing. There are some bugs in a number of the UI and Java repos. You know, sonar finds bugs and code smells. But other than that, the fact that every single repository has all of the rules, thresholds pass is great. So I won't belabor that. The one very last thing I'll show is the chart. So this sprint 47, we got 99 story points of new features achieved. And here's what that looks like on a graph. So that's the highest ever as long as I've been making this graph, which was like the 3.1 release last summer. And the green bar is how much of that is vaccines work. And so here on the second chart, we're like off the chart, or the very top 60 points of this work was vaccines work. So we have a ton to look at today. I will not go any further than that with my intro. And unless anybody else has comments, I'd like to pass the ball straight to Team Parrot for you all to decide who wants to start showcasing.
Yeah, so I will just mention that it was a good sprint. We have managed to cross a lot of story points and a lot of bugs. Some of the bugs turned out to be easier than we originally thought. And after the bug grooming that we had previous week, so it was good that they weren't as time consuming as we thought. And it also contributed to all of those story points closed. And of course, also the extra hours helped. So thanks to everyone in the team for good job.
Yeah, thank you all very much.
And with that, I guess I can start. So I will share my screen.
Great.
Okay, and hopefully you can see it.
Yep.
Awesome. So I've got one big ticket to show today, and this is all the quantity needs to be stored in packs. So yeah, we will have to visit a few places on OpenLMIS because it affects several screens. The orders, shipments, and PODs. And so let's start. So we have a couple of demo data requisitions that are ready to be converted to an order. And the first change that was made is that the ordered quantity in the order should not be coming from the approved quantity, so it shouldn't be in the dispensing units, but it should be coming from the packs to ship. And so let's convert those requisitions to an order, and we will see them just in a while. Okay, so actually, maybe let's go to orders first before shipments. Okay, and I will print this order, and I will also take a look at the requisition that we converted to an order. Okay, so here we have the approved quantities, which are easy to remember. We have 100 of everything. And here we have the order printout. And we have two columns. So the ticket was saying that dispensing unit is not necessary, but I have left it here. And we have ordered quantity, which is now represented in packs. An important thing to mention is that those dispensing units are not coming directly from the approved quantity. Rather, this is based on the ordered quantity, and the calculation is essentially ordered quantity multiplied by the product net content. So this last column is just a representation of the ordered quantity in packs, but in dispensing units. So let's go to the shipment view. And let's start the fulfillment for the same order. So the changes on the screen included the order quantity, the field quantity, and the available stock on hand. The stock on hand is coming from the stock management module, and the stock management service keeps the stock on hand in dispensing units. So here we are converting the stock on hand that we have in stock management to packs. And the conversion works in such a way that it just translates the value to the whole packs. And you can actually take a look at the stock management stock on hand as well. Okay, so what we have stock for? Okay, maybe let's go for this one. Okay, so this is our stock on hand in the stock management. And here, this value is in the packs and not in the dispensing units. So since the net content is 5, this translates to 30 packs on the shipment view.
And if that's not a whole number, does it round down?
Yeah, so if I were missing just a single dispensing unit to the full pack, it wouldn't count that pack here. So we need to be able to fill the whole pack. There aren't any rounding rules here. Does that answer your question, Josh?
I don't know if I followed. So if I had 151 on hand, and I don't know what the pack size for this thing is, but if I had 151 on hand, it would still say 30 packs until I had enough on hand that I would have 31 packs.
That's correct. So yeah, the net content of this is 5. So even if you had 154, it would be 30 packs. So unless you are able to translate to a whole pack, then you won't be doing that. So we need a whole pack basically.
Gotcha.
But to confirm, it's not using the actual rounding rules, right? It just, that is the default, and it will round down.
Yes, the rounding rules from the Rebus properties are not taken into consideration here. We always need a full pack by default. Okay, so I will go ahead and create a shipment for this, and I will fill 10 packs out of requested 30. Oh, and we also have a pick pack list here, so let's generate that as well before we continue. So here it is. We also have the values in doses and vials. So I am filling 10 packs or vials here, which we have here, and this translates to 50 doses. Okay, and let's go ahead and confirm that shipment. And let's go back to the stock management module. And you can see the adjustment has been made in the dispensing units as it should be. So our stock on hand is now 100 since we shipped 10 packs, which is 50 dispensing units to another facility.
Can, okay. Can you go to the fulfillment page again?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I was just trying to see. It was quick, and I was looking at the table sort component. So thanks. I just wanted to see that. Thanks.
Okay. Okay, so time for the difficult part for the POD. So we don't currently have any user that in the demo data that would have the correct POD rights. I have assigned one to the vaccine-based stock manager. Hopefully I did that right before the showcase. Okay, seems like I did. So the reason we don't have demo data for POD yet is because we will be reworking the POD right in the next sprint. Since currently the POD right is fulfillment based, we'll be redoing that to be a supervision right. So yeah, currently the POD fulfillment right doesn't really make sense, so it wasn't worth investing time into creating demo data for that. But let's continue. Oops, I don't have shipments view. Okay, so I will go ahead and assign that right as well.
Sebastian, I have a question about something you were demoing earlier.
Yeah.
When you were converting the requisitions to an order,
mm-hmm.
I thought they would automatically be converted. Did we change the program setting or something?
So those are the requisitions from the demo data. So they are by default in the approved state, and that's how they are loaded to the server. That's why we're able to convert them manually.
I see. Okay.
Okay, don't remember which one was that. Actually, I'm gonna do a different thing. Okay, that should do the trick. Okay, so this is our proof of delivery screen. The quantity shipped here is now displayed in packs as well. Since on the POD screen, we can only accept or reject the whole packs and not the dispensing units. And yeah, let's accept 5 packs. Select the reason. And let's confirm it. Okay, so it has been confirmed, and let's take a look at the stock management for this facility that was receiving. The product and the transferring is here in the dispensing unit. So we have accepted 5 packs, which translates to 25 dispensing units in our stock management. Okay, and this is it. So we have adjusted the orders, the shipments, and the PODs, and the communication with the stock management service to properly translate from packs to dispensing units and the other way as well. Do you have any questions about this ticket?
I was wondering whether it might be helpful to annotate the UI such that it indicates when pack size versus dispensing units are used. It makes sense when we use either one where, but for folks uninitiated with the system, it might be a little confusing.
Yeah, and I think we're actually we have actually brought that topic like some time ago already. I think we haven't reached an agreement yet, like how this would be represented. Like whether it would be something in the header, like an annotation, this is in packs, this is in dispensing units, or how we would be doing that. But yeah, I think it would be useful that eventually we have that note, like whether the packs are in dispensing units. We just need to have a single way to do that on every screen that we have.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. If there are other questions, I will just mention quickly two other tickets. So the first one is this bug about Jenkins builds failing due to missing transitive dependencies. So the root cause of this was one of the transitive dependencies changing its name and therefore suddenly becoming unavailable in the NPM registry. And this was fixed by removing temporarily, well, actually removing the RAM to Swagger task. In the next sprints, we'll be moving to a native RAM solution. So we won't be using Swagger at all. So this is one of the tickets. And another ticket that I wanted to mention is the reference data patch release. So yesterday, Jakub has finished applying the patch. He has also run the contract test and the performance tests. He has attached the results here in the ticket and all the Git artifacts. He has also sent a notice to the mailing list about this. And the release is currently available on the Docker Hub and on GitHub. This fix only contains the single bug that we were talking about on the mailing list, and it's about an issue with paging. Currently, when we don't provide the paging parameters, we'll be able to retrieve more than 2,000 products or any instances that are not paginated.
And a quick question, that's great. But a quick question is, when we did that, were we able to pull that fix into master, or is it duplicative?
This fix was already on master. It was, I think it was also implemented this sprint or maybe previous sprint.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Sure. Okay, so last call, any questions? Okay, I have none, so thanks. And who wants to continue?
I think I can continue.
Hey, great, go ahead.
Okay, so I will share my screen. And I assume you can see it.
Yep.
So I will start with a ticket that was about adjusting validations for emergency requisitions. This was an API part for removing validations. And also in acceptance criteria was disabling sending stock event for emergency requisitions on final approval. And so this ticket was mostly about disabling the validators for emergency questions. And also during this ticket, I made some refactor because we had two very big validator classes, and I split them up to about 15 validator. So that constraint about fields. So now it's more, the code is more testable and I think more readable. So I think I will show you the on UI. This was a backend part, but I think it will be sufficient to show on UI that any none of the validators are fired for emergency, for example, for such things as the stock on hand. So let's start with some requisition. Add some product. So we don't have any columns and they will won't be sent to backend, and backend shouldn't throw any error. We have response with 100 status code. So I think we can submit. And also, and I can show that these columns aren't provided. So yeah, we don't have the columns like second hand here or any other. So the validators are disabled, and also this document is not set on final approval, so I need to go to approval first. Okay, so yeah, I can approve and it should work fine. And no one of the document was sent. I think. And do you have any questions, or should I show something more here for this one?
I think you can go on.
Okay, so I'll go on. Nicole wants to tell more about the UI parts, so the details will be there also. So the next ticket was about stock on hand from stock management for the revision templates with that were stock based. So now if revision templates for acquisition is stock based, it uses a new API, endpoint API from stock for getting stock card summaries. So I will go to, I think I will log as Ivo. So first I will enable, to enable that field in acquisition template. And I'll log in as Taibo. So first, if I try to initiate, I should get an error because we don't have the stock cards for every orderable for date March 2017. So I need to make some physical inventory to add some stock cards for this date. Okay, so now if you hear anything that is not zero. And I need the set date that was before March 2017. So it can be any date. And before that date, so now I think initiate should work. And yeah, and we have stop and end that I filled a few moments ago.
Pavel, could I ask a quick question?
Yes.
So it looked like the physical inventory you just did, everything had stock on hand in it. So why would that, why would doing that unblock this if all the items had, like if BCG actually had stock on hand? Did I just see that wrong or?
No, I'm not sure I understand because the...
Are you saying that BCG had the stock on hand set?
I thought that's what I saw, but maybe I just saw it incorrectly.
It was for date, I think, for date after March 2017, and it used only stock cards that are not after these days.
I see. So we didn't have a stock on hand for the date for this requisition. This requisition is actually before the stock cards actually have stock on hand.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay, so yeah, we have this.
And I have an unrelated question. I'm not seeing the calculated reorder amount here. Is that just not displayed right now in the template?
Calculated reorder? I think it can...
It could just be that you guys aren't... I just wanted to ask that question because I believe that...
Yeah, I'm just...
It's not displayed.
Yeah, I can enable it, but
okay, I just wanted to confirm that's there.
I think we have a ticket in the sprint for
showcasing that
like the order quantity for ISA as well. So I think we'll get to that.
We can wait then. Thanks.
Okay, I think that is all from this ticket. Any other questions?
Wait, so Pavel, so this is the stock on hand page, right? This ticket deals with the stock on hand page, correct?
Yes.
Can we go back to it real quick?
Okay.
Just to say, this ticket is about the stock-based requisition.
Yeah.
Using data from the stock card. This ticket, I don't think, was really about changes on the stock on hand page.
No. Oh,
okay. Okay. Never mind then.
Okay. Okay, so I think I will move to the next one. It was related to this one, I think I already saw you this message. If that endpoint returns null for some null stop on hand for some of the regular, the error should be it should say about how many order missing sub levels and the product name of this one. Yeah, so it was like that. So I think I'll move to the next one immediately. And here I was, so I have a few, 3 bugs. And the first one was stock adjustments didn't allow adding more than one product. If we clicked add, nothing was happening. And I think I can solve this quickly. So I can set something here. And now if I add some product, it should be added, and also this field should be pre-populated to the new line. Yeah, so reason and reason comment if there were any, but for this product, we don't need reasons. Yeah, and date and reason is the same. Of course, we can change it. Yeah, and we can submit.
Okay, great. Yeah, so that bug is definitely fixed. And just a suggestion, because of time, maybe for the bugs we shouldn't show them unless people have questions and want to see them. We should just highlight what each bug is, so we make sure we do have time to see all the stories and tasks this week.
Okay, good idea. So I only talk briefly about the next bugs. And so the next was about entering physical inventories out of order. And yeah, if we, for a given scenario, so the error occurred about subtracting and making sock about below zero, but it didn't make any sense, this error. And the root cause of this, I think, was there was a programmatic error in validator class, and we didn't have any unit test for entering pass date physical inventories. And now I added such test, and the scenario here is in 100% the same in my test. So we have some line item for January and March, and next we make event for February, and it passed. And also it was, I think, yeah, it was tested also manually, but I will want to show this now because of not much time. So do you have any questions? No, I will move to last bug about entering date for the future, but this error was shown for every date, even if it wasn't in the future, because it was a regression caused by changing date picker. Date picker now use not date class but string, and also the code in this modal recursion in recursion view needed to be changed. So yeah, this is fixed. I think it's all from me. Any other questions?
Okay, thanks. Those were some important bugs that broke a lot of things. So, excellent.
Okay, thanks. So I'll stop sharing, and I think thanks we now present. Yeah, so I will start showcasing for the stuff I have done. So let me share my screen first. And that will be this one. Can you see it?
Yes, we see your screen.
Yes.
Yeah, so I will start with the ticket about adding upcache. I should hopefully be able to showcase it, as I haven't been visiting the test server for a couple of days now. So let me just find it really quick. So the ticket is 3166. It was about adding a indication on whether we have a outdated version of our UI. To do this, I will go to the UIT server. And this change is probably too old, as it doesn't have the working version, so I will try with the test server. And as you can see, I don't have the newest version of the UI, so the indicator has shown at the top. So I will just click it. And as you can see, I can either update now or update on logout. Updating on logout will simply do nothing at this point. We will still be using the old version of the UI. And if I click update now, the whole UI will be reloaded and I will have the newest changes available. Yes, so as you can see, the indication is gone. I am now using the newest version of the UI. So are there any questions about this one?
So just a quick comment. This message there was saying that it will require you to log in again if you reload, but it doesn't seem like you have to.
You don't actually have to log in. Probably overseen by me. It should be really easy to add.
Okay. So we should probably remove it. Can you do that?
Yeah, I can. Should I create a...
No, just remove that from the message.
Okay. Okay, so are there any other questions about this ticket? No, so I will go to the next one. The next one is 6085, which was about adding a rejection reason for stock on the proof of delivery screen. So to showcase that, I will visit one of the proofs of delivery. I will select one of the programs, and I will go to this one as it's not yet filled. So as you can see, we have the quantity accepted. We have how much stock was shipped. And to actually trigger the validation for rejected reason, we have to specify a quantity accepted that is lesser than the quantity shipped. So let's say 25. And as you can see, the validation has shown up. Now, if I select stock, the same is for this one. let's say it was stolen. So if I try to confirm it at this point, I will get the confirmation will be successful. I will try removing the reason and will try to confirm. As you can see, I'm not able to do that because the form is not valid. If I accept all the stock, the reason for rejection is actually required to be empty. So if I select any of the reasons, I will get an error message saying that I can't specify a reason for rejecting if I'm not actually rejecting anything. So I will remove it, and I can actually showcase that I won't be able to confirm the proof of delivery. If I remove it, I am able to do so. Yes, so as you can see, once we confirm the proof of delivery, we are not able to modify it on the UI, and all the fields has become read-only fields, so we can't do anything with it. Are there any questions about this one?
Yeah, I have a quick question about the reasons. So it seems that we are showing the consumed and the beginning balance insufficiency reasons, which are those special reasons for the communication between requisition and stock management. And I was wondering whether we should really be showing them. My guess is that we shouldn't.
Yeah, we are actually showing all the reasons from the stock management that has a, if I'm correct, a debit type. I think we should filter out some of them.
So does that mean we would be hard coding, filtering out reasons which are configurable in the EMG file? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I think we should filter out all the reasons do have a show hide flag of whether you show it to users or hide it from users. And I think we should look at that flag like we do elsewhere and maybe filter out the hidden ones.
But wouldn't, I think if I'm remembering correctly, we have a ticket to do the flag of when to show certain reasons. Is that correct? Because I thought, Brandon, if we would not be able to display it, isn't that reason needed in a different view? So it's like universal if you show or not show reason. It's not by sort of service or workflow.
Right. Those reasons are, I think we want those reasons that only requisition service uses to always be hidden. So they're, that hide flag should apply on this screen as well.
Yes, so should I add it in a separate ticket or should I reopen this one?
Is that the right approach? I mean, it sounds right to me, but I'm not sure. So
yeah, maybe since we're not sure for today's meeting, let's make a separate ticket and we can make sure to check on that. Is someone willing on the team ill side to make a ticket number and we can put this, it should be a small ticket, but we can put it on the grooming page and confirm.
Yep. Yeah, I can throw that on there.
Okay, cool. Good catch.
Okay, so if there aren't any more questions about this one, I will go to the last one, which was about modifying the requisition UI to actually fit our new emergency requisition design. So to showcase this, I will go to the... I will actually start with user that has some lesser rights than the administrator have to also show that the rights checks are still there and are not actually broken. So I will start with the storeroom manager. And I will go to the initiate requisition, and I will start a new emergency requisition. As you can see, at this point, we don't have any line items because it's a new emergency requisition. The only columns that we have are the ones that are not the reporting ones. So we only have the product code, product, requested quantity, and requested quantity explanation. Now, if we add a new product, these products here are coming from the available food supply products of the requisition. So as you can see, they are grouped by the category. And I will add a new one. Let's say it's 10. Let's see that the validation is still working. So if I don't specify any of the fields, it will, the form won't be submitted. So I will add the product. And as you can see, if I go back to the screen, we can no longer see the product in the available products list. Yes, and now to show that the non-full supply screen is still working as it was, you can see that the available products here are completely different from the ones on the full supply list. We only have the one product. And as you can see, if I try to add a new product without explanation, I can still do it on the non-full supply tab as it should be. And as you can see, I can still remove the line item from the non-full supply, but I can do that for the full supply page. So to show this, I will add a product. I can go for a couple more to show that the pagination still works.
Look at him. There was a quick thing in the table with a red button. I'm not sure what that was. Do you see that?
Yes, this allows for the non-food supply items to be removed. It has been there for quite some time, I believe. I wasn't adding it on the full supply product because it was explicitly said in ticket not to.
Maybe we can flag that red button, Mary Jo, for a conversation later, that little red X. I had never noticed that before and don't know. Maybe it needs a word on it so that it's translatable or so people know what clicking it will do rather than an X on it. But I'll flag that and make sure we chat about it.
I mean, for this ticket, we're leaving the non-full supply tab exactly the same as it functions today.
Right. Yeah, this is not related to this ticket. We need to just check out that. At least for the column header in the table, it should say action or something.
And so as you can see, I've added a couple more line items and the pagination now shows. So it still does work. I will add one more just to make it more clear. And the line items in the grid are still ordered by respecting the display order of the groups and line items, so that that stays as it was. I will now submit the requisition, and as a storeroom manager, I only have the right to submit it, so I'm not able to either skip, add, or remove any of the line items. So the only thing I can do on the screen is to simply view it. I will now reload and log as manager. No, it's not this one. It actually should be the emergency requisition. And as you can see, as a store manager, I'm able to edit all the fields because I have the rights to do so. I can no longer remove because we already submitted the requisition and it was how it was all the time. So let's say I will change the requested quantity to 1,000 and authorize it. And if I go back to the requisition, you can see I'm still logged in as a store manager and I can no longer edit on any of the fields. Yes, so I think that's it. You can see that the approved quantity column is present, so I can still approve the requisition. I will do that as an administrator.
Not from the screen by what you're approving.
Oh yeah. That's correct. As you can see, if I have the rights to approve, I can still do that. So I will just click the approve button to make sure that the whole workflow works for the emergency requisition. As you can see, it was successful. If I enter the screen now, I can no longer edit any of the inputs. So everything works as expected. So unless are there any questions about this one, I can probably pass the ball to someone else. Okay, so.
Yeah, thanks. That was a big feature, a big change to emergency requisitions that product committee had looked at and ships in 3.3. So it's great. Thanks.
Yeah, so who wants the ball?
Give it to me. Okay. But you have to stop sharing.
That's probably right.
Okay.
Yes, we see it.
Okay. Great. So first two tickets. First ticket was about adding ability or requesting that a stock event is sent when proof of delivery is confirmed. And related, there was also one additional ticket to add rejection reason, quantity, and ID to the extra data in the stock. This was already shown somehow by Sebastian when he confirmed the proof of delivery. And here, and in the seconds. Okay, so we see that after the POD was confirmed that stock on hand, that stock event was sent to the stock management. And also we see that in the extra data, there is a rejected quantity Accord 5 and reason ID is also in the extra data. And then question to those tasks. Okay, move on. So next question is a calculate column. Okay. So this was done together with Mateusz. And for this template. So when second hand flag is set, then user has ability to select calculate order quantity ISA column. And if the flag is unset, then user still can select a column, but the user gets an error message and it cannot save template. Yeah. So we back to the flag. Now I enable both flags and save the template. Okay. I initiate acquisition. Yeah. But use the new template, and we see that there are some values in the ISA column, and also the calculated order quantity ISA column has value that is equal to this value minus the value in the stock on hand column. And in this case, when user don't put anything in the requested quantity, we will use calculated order quantity ISA. And I will show that. So for this one, I will don't put anything. For this one, I will put, and I submit. Yeah. We see that the validation passed, that everything is correct. And now I will approve as the one. This one, and we see that approved quantity for the first product has the value equal to the calculate order quantity ISA column, and for the second is equal to the request quantity. In this case, it's 10. I should be able to approve this. And it probably was converted. Yep. Okay. I think it's everything. One more thing, there was a small bug that if there is no this column in the template, because for those two templates we have this column in the template configuration, and for example for this one the template is not even able. Is not even set in the template configuration, and if I set the flag, I'm still not able to select those columns, but this is out of scope for this ticket. And if I save it for planning, well, okay. Now I have to. Can I do this? Oh, I really have to. Okay, so maybe I will not show you this one because it takes some time, but this bug was fixed and it was tested. Of course, okay. If you need, I can show you.
Yeah, it's up to you. Maybe does anybody, if you pull up the bug again real quick, would anybody like us to, we could jump to other topics, he could get ready, and then we could come back to Lukasz showing the bug later in the video. Does anybody want to see it?
I'd like to, let's come back to it. So maybe you can take a look and we can review other things. I do think this is important edge case about turning on and off the stock based requisition and not showing or showing that ISA call.
Okay, so let's move on, Lukasz, in the showcase for now. And if once you're done screen sharing while other people are showcasing, if you want to, you can quickly turn things on to show it. If we still have time today, that'd be great. we'll just go ahead and see.
Okay, sure. Okay, so now ticket is about changing the way how we find a correct requisition template. We have two templates for API program, and for this facility, we use the standard template. Not now, because we could change it. Quickly. Back. Save test comes. For this facility, we use the standard template, which is not stock-based. It still is. Okay. I'm not sure why this is. Maybe by someone changed the SMNet. Oh, okay, this is not the correct user. So I think I have to. Okay, so for this one, we use the template that has a stock-based flex set, and for the Devo, we should use the second template. Not sure why.
Maybe because it was already initiated, yeah, it had the previous template.
Yeah, because it's still. If I need to look at it, I think it's worked yesterday.
So maybe we skip this one too. We go on with anything else you want to show or things other people want to show. And then at the end of the meeting, if you have figured it out, we can come back and still do it today.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so allow adding and removing client items from emergency requisition. I think this was already shown by Nicodem, that when he submit the emergency requisition, that client item was still shown on the UI. So the backend accepted the request with the line items, and those line items were added. And there was also small ticket to add two lists to the emergency requisition response, where one list contains all full supply products and the second one contains non-full supply products. And this was, I prepared earlier the emergency requisition, and you can see that in the response we have two lists about with the available products. One contains full supply products and the second one contains non-supply products. Okay, and in the end there was small bug that user could not access the offline requisition. The bug was fixed. I also create a small functional test to check that, to verify that the offline requisition will work correct. And that's everything from me for now.
Yes, okay, for now, great. Thank you for those, and feel free while other people showcase to see if you can get either of those others ready.
Yeah, sure. So, Mateusz?
Yeah, so it's my turn now. Can I share the whole screen or just the Windows?
Like you prefer.
No, do I have availability? I can see only, oh, okay. No, no, this one. This one.
There we see Jira.
Nice. So we'll just do it quick. So the first one is about renaming the POD endpoints. So before it was named proof of deliveries, now it's proofs of delivery, and the change was also made to the SQL table and applied to other places, to other services, that everything's it was checked that everything works fine. So this was done, and the next one is the new screen for the stock on hand. So actually I can already show it together with the API for this new endpoint, for the stock card summaries. So this is the screen. So you probably have seen it today a few times. So this is how it looks. We have the product code, product, load code. And as you can see, it is not load defined for the fulfilling of the labels. And there is a load code for the if the stock card has a load. So the view buttons show for the actually stock cards are shown only for the records that have stock cards. So this one doesn't have one, and those two have. And as you can see, both for this product we have two stock cards. So both those items are shown in the separate line item, and here is the sum of those two. So as you can see, the endpoint and this page is paginated. So maybe let's just see it for the Devo real quick.
What's the ticket number again?
So it was the UI part was 4055 and the backend part was 4052. As you can see for the Devo, there is more actually. As you can see, there are multiple products for one BCG, and also as you can see, the BCG can fulfill itself. Are there any questions for those two?
Did we remove I thought in the mockup there was like a heavy set line between commodity types and like between BCG and the next one? Is it going to be like a big? Like between C100 and C103. Those lines. I don't know. I thought Nick explained this to me, and it seemed like a good idea.
I'm not sure if it was supposed to be addressed in this ticket, but it seems like the orderable being able to, like the being able to fulfill for itself, it seems a bit extraneous to add a row for that in this view.
So, it was, you know, requested in the API, in the API ticket. Actually, it was here probably this other disappearing, as well as the other variables list. The list actually contains itself, but about the UI parts, I'm not sure if there was said that this shouldn't be shown.
I guess we could. I think it could probably be discussed outside the showcase.
Yeah, maybe Chung-Sun, are you willing, since you know what that's about, to put that on your list to follow up on?
Yeah.
Could you add me as a watcher on whatever that is, or just loop me in? I'm curious.
Yeah,
I'd like to talk about this one.
Okay, so maybe I will just move to the next one. So those two are done. This one was about adding the VDM status column to the POD screen. So So as you can see now, there's a VDM status column. It will not be shown if any of the products actually has the property use VDM status. Actually, doesn't have it set to true, this flag. So this VDM status is required if VDM status is required if I actually accept more than the quantity accepted is more than zero. So if I set it to zero, is okay. Or set it to 12, now it's okay. And the VDM status cannot be selected if the quantity accepted is zero. So those are the validations. I can quickly show. And this is received already. So as you can see, the VM status is read only if the proof of delivery is received. So this is it, I believe, for this ticket. Are there any questions? If not, I'll move to the next one. Those three were sub-tickets and they were already shown. This was a bug about fixing the user edit screen. So now the form for the user is showing. Also, the problem with loading modals while using the password model, this problem is fixed. So creating user should probably work fine now. So this was closed. And this one is actually done. I was able to test it locally. So it's about fixing the problem that Malavia encountered while using the ref data, reference data seed tool. It is working locally. I will just put it to the QA to Lukas, and it probably will be closed tomorrow. So yeah, do you have any questions?
Only question is, when we test that one and make sure it is working, are we going to do it with a data size that is, you know, either Malawi's or very similar to?
Yeah, probably it should be tested by Jakub on the Malawi data set, I would say. As I discussed it with Lukas, we will probably be testing it in the performance data server with the performance data loaded.
Okay.
Yeah, so this should be, and you know, with the reference data seed tool, but yeah, for sure it should be tested in the Malawi data set. So as soon as Jakub has some free time, I will pass it to him.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so if there are no more questions, I will pass the ball to the Claudia, actually. So yeah, thank you.
Great, and just as a time check, we have 8 minutes left, but Claudia, I think you should go ahead and show your tickets as well. We'll see when we get to past if we need to go a little bit long. I know we can also check in then if people can stay after. We could still do a showcase of Team Ill. And also Craig is here from the ONA team, OpenSRP, to give a quick update on that. But let's cover this first, Claudia, and we'll just decide if people can stay long and we want to do those others or not.
In this sprint, I was mainly focused on QA, so I have only one ticket to show you. So I'm thinking, I believe that 7 minutes is okay. So I have a ticket about fulfill order screen. And I've added this screen in orders fulfill screen. And as default, we have here orders with fulfilling or ordered status. We can filter orders by some of the status, one of that, and we can also filter by other ordering facility, and we can left it as it was without filtering. And as you can see, for fulfilling status, we have continue fulfillment button, and for ordered status, we have start fulfillment. And we can sort that orders by recently ordered or oldest ordered, but it doesn't it changed. As they created the same, so we don't know generally. Yeah, but probably it was the first one. And yeah. And I believe that's it.
Is this where, in this ticket, did you implement the sort by filter piece? It just seems like they're not aligned, or just, was that this ticket? Or did this get implemented before?
It was implemented before.
Yeah, and there is a ticket already for that alignment or misalignment, however you may consider it. There's a ticket to go back and look at that.
Okay. Can you Slack me the number of that one?
Yep, I'll Slack you the number and we could, yep.
Any other questions? Okay, so thank you.
Okay, is there anyone else from Team Parrot with anything to show, or Lukasz, any of that stuff you wanted to come back and show quickly?
Yeah, I figure out both things so I can quickly show them.
Okay, let's do them quickly. Yep.
Okay, so the first thing about templates was that it was working, but the when the flag was set and saved, the other columns was hidden, and when the flag was disabled, those columns was still hidden. So that's why after initiate, the template looked exactly the same like for the stock-based requisition. So I already create requisition as a Devo for the Psyto facility, and it's regular non-stock-based requisition. And if I use other account for this facility, and it should use the stock base. But I, oh, okay. So I can't initiate because I don't have products in the stock management. And this is a good sign that we try to use the stock-based requisition template, but I couldn't use it because I don't have products. Yes. Okay. And the second about can submit stock-based requisition when the column is not visible. I already create required data and initiate a requisition for facility. Yep. And we don't have calculated ISA column. And now if I submit, I have problem. Yeah, because there's no calculated column, so I have to manually put requested quantity. I put here and now I try to submit. And I probably was logged as per user. Okay, Castro was on. Okay, so and now I can submit. Yep. Okay, that's everything.
Okay, any questions?
Thanks for going through that. I know it's a little complicated, but I'll make sure.
No problem.
Last call for anything from Team Parrot? Okay, so here's where I'd like everybody's input. It is now 8:30, well, our ending time. There are two other topics that we would normally do. We'd normally have Team Ill showcase any of the important things that got done this sprint. I know in particular there was one screen from Nick to sort of see what pieces got done in 4077. There's also other teams, the OpenSRP ONA team. Craig was here to show about that OpenSRP app integration and had maybe like a 7 or 8 minute run through of update on that. So could people in the chat box tell us very quickly, yes or no, do you want to stay on for those things? Can people stay longer? Or write in the chat box if you'd rather end the meeting or you have to go. And I'll take a quick look. Okay, so far the votes are coming in and everybody wants to go take a few more minutes to cover both of those. So let's dive in. Let's first maybe get that update from the OpenSRP team Ona work that Craig is here to give. We do see a screen.
All right, hi everybody.
Hi.
Let me know if my volume's a bit low.
Now we can hear you fine.
Great. So over the last sprint period, we had these activities that we were working on. The first one was to identify how to create an order in OpenLMIS using the OpenLMIS APIs. So we created a document where we went down and, or I created a document where I listed all the steps for creating a direct order directly through curl commands. And then identified a process to, after we create the order, go into the OpenLMIS UI and start the fulfillment process and confirm the shipment. So after we did that, I handed that portion over to my NiFi team. And NiFi is a middle layer. It's a tool that allows you to use drag and drop mechanisms to build flows between systems. And those of you who are working on MoTeC, it's very similar to MoTeC, except that the drag and drop ability of it allows for branching logic, which is a really cool feature. So I'll go into the NiFi flow to demonstrate that in a minute, but I also wanted to mention that another thing that we were to work on was to develop the OpenSRP server so that we could have API endpoints to create orders. So once our Android client creates an order, that goes into the OpenSRP server and it makes the data available for NiFi. And once the shipment is created in OpenLMIS, NiFi will post that shipment information to the OpenSRP server. So our developers created two resources in OpenSRP server. One is the order resource to collect the orders, and the other is a shipment resource. So I'll quickly, I guess I should stop there because I'm going to jump into NiFi, which is a new technology for many folks. And I wonder if it would be appropriate to give kind of a high level overview of the integration, or if others are aware of what we're working on.
I'd appreciate an overview for one.
Okay, great. So the high level integration is we're building the proof of concept to have our OpenSRP stock management module request an order from the very end user, have that order request go to NiFi, which will create an order based on the ideal stock amounts, and then post that information over to the OpenLMIS orders endpoint. From there, the order will traverse the fulfillment process and it will turn into a shipment. And we have another process that where NiFi will query the shipments API on a regular schedule. And if there's a new shipment that was generated from OpenSRP, then it will get the shipment details and package those so that OpenSRP can receive that shipment. And then ultimately that shipment information will be synced right back down to that same Android client and displayed, number of vials and doses that would be needed by antigen type.
And just a quick clarification, you mean if a new shipment is created in OpenLMIS, correct?
Right. I know that was all audio, not visual. Because we have a lot of bullet points, we haven't actually done a diagram yet.
That's great.
Okay. So NiFi is a technology. It's a middle layer that allows you to define processors on this page. And to orient you, each of these boxes that you see here is a step in the interaction between OpenSRP and the interaction between OpenLMIS. And what we've done is we've systematically gone through and identified what are the API interactions that need to take place. We have to create a token. Once we create the token, we have to use the order template to generate the order based on the ideal stock amount. We have to post that order to the OpenLMIS system. Once the order is posted with the response, we extract the details so that we can save that and use it later in the shipment information. And then once we go into the OpenLMIS UI to create the shipment, we then have a process to receive the shipment information. So this purple box that you see here focuses on that, where we extract the orderable line items, and then on a regular schedule, we will create another token, get the shipment details, extract the shipment data, and then convert that into the OpenSRP template, ultimately posting it to the OpenSRP server. Over the last 2 weeks, we realized that the information in our demo server for Zambia included some proprietary personally identifiable information. And so we were not able to stand up the demo server of OpenSRP based on that during this sprint cycle, but that's an activity that has slipped over to the next sprint. So instead of that, I'm going to press this button, this play button, to start the process, and this triggers a flow. So we would assume that on a regular schedule, NiFi is querying OpenSRP, and it has identified at this point that there is a new order available. Okay. It goes through all these processes, and I know this is probably a new UI for some, but the first step is to create the token, and then it creates the order, and we can see that there's information that was returned. Here is 227 bytes, 13 kilobytes of write. It posts the order to OpenLMIS, and then we're extracting the order details. Okay. So I will go down, let's see here, and I'll show you. I've paused the queue right now at this spot to show. This is, once we get the order details, we create 5 items, one for each line item. That's pretty, isn't it? I was assuming that it would be returned as fancy JSON. Let's see. Yeah, there we go. So in this orderable line item, we have an order of this product code from the OpenLMIS API. This is the ordered quantity. Okay. And so we have that for each line item that was received by OpenLMIS. So I'll go ahead and switch over to OpenLMIS. And I'll refresh this. All right, and I'll do a search again. Yeah, so this is the order that we just created. I know that there was another one in here. This is part of the demo data, just to show you. So these are not the amounts. This is the order that we just created here. And we're getting 10, we've got 5 line items here, each with an ordered quantity of 10 for these orderables. Okay. So I'll go through and I will fulfill these orders, or fulfill this order here. This is all just the standard process, right? So I'll quickly fill these fields. Okay, confirm the shipment. So OpenLMIS has now converted this to a shipment. 1 second. There we go. And so it says that it's shipped. Maybe I need to refresh the screen.
You have to go to a different screen, yeah.
Yep, got it. There we go. So that one's been shipped now. Okay. So I'm going to go back to the other screen and turn on NiFi. Because if you remember, we paused it at that point so that we could go and do that activity. So when I turn this on, create the token, it's going to go and query the shipment for each of those five line items. And I don't know if it's how fast it is, but we might see this, we might see it go through here. Oh, sorry. So we have five line items, five REST calls to the shipments API. We extracted the data from each of these five REST calls, turned those into variables. We converted that into the OpenSRP template. And now I've got five items here that are queued. And one for each line item. And this is the template that we're going to send to the OpenSRP server, where you've got the facility code, the receiving facility, supplying facility, the line item, one for each of the five of MMR, number of doses, shipped quantity of three, and the order information from OpenSRP and from OpenLMIS so that we can present that to the user. So that's it for the showcase of this, and I'll be working on, we found some things that we could improve in the next sprint, and I'm working on the backlog to get that documented today.
Very cool.
Questions?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a, I don't know exactly necessarily where this may stem from, but I saw that the order that was created and was being fulfilled, the line items for the order were trade item orderables, which isn't exactly what I would be expecting. I would expect commodity type orderables to be ordered and then to be shipped, though, would be trade item orderables.
Okay, so that might be something where the order, where when I was working through the demo data, I didn't know that, and so I just picked whichever with that for that particular facility in Lurio. Mm-hmm. I picked whichever items actually had stock on hand.
Yeah, the fulfillment screen should work so that. If you order a commodity type, it will know which trade items can fulfill for it. So when you do the fulfillment, you should be able to do the same thing anyways.
Oh, great. So I would need some help figuring out how to generate that order. The template that I used was based off of going through the requisition process. So if I can order by commodity type, that would be way easier.
So maybe, Chungsun, because of time, could you initiate that chat with Craig, maybe in Pound OpenSRP or wherever, and kind of help follow up on that?
Yeah, sure. I'm not part of the channel OpenSRP, but I can do fulfillment or something.
Yeah, I'm doing fulfillment.
Great.
All right. Are there any other questions?
I had just a quick one. Is there somewhere that people can look at the code and or just go through that interface, or is are we still working on that?
Yeah, we're still working on the role-based access controls for the NiFi interface.
Okay.
Yeah. But if we have the ability to stand up a local instance, so if you wanted to do that, we could export the templates in the meantime. It depends on how much time you have.
I want the time, but I probably don't. All right, fair enough. Cool.
Will these only live on the NiFi instance, or would they also be on some sort of repository or something like that?
Yeah, we haven't yet created the version control mechanism.
Okay.
Okay. Then,
so the idea would be to create a Docker container that auto loads these templates in.
Okay.
Great. Well, let's switch to Team Ill really quick. People had all said in the chat it's okay to go a little longer. So very quickly, from Team Ill, if there's anything people want to share, I know the list of completed issues had like 4 bugs and a story about the filter component and some tasks. And there were some other things like 4077 that might be in there. Review column, but whoever would like to quickly highlight anything, now's your chance.
I think I'll spare everyone the OpenHIE stuff, so I'm out.
Well, I mean, I would like to, but maybe what Nick was working on might be more important.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon asked me to share it, and this is my last showcase, so I may as well walk through this.
Okay, great.
How do I don't need a ball, right?
Right, it's a new world. Just push share.
New world. Okay. Let me know when you can see my screen.
Yep.
Okay, so we're just going to talk about... So 4077... used to have a bunch of acceptance criteria about reorganizing the product or the table grid inside of it. That did not happen because I lost last week because of a neck injury. I did get many other parts of the screen fixed up and just getting it to be able to display correctly. There are some styling issues and technical debt with this header, which should be looked at across everything. That's worth noting, but you know, only as people get time with it. Essentially, these styles have become so used, but they're all being pulled from the requisition component, and really they should be incorporated into the generic UI component somewhere. So 4077 got split up into 2 pieces. Lastly, the other thing that's happened is I changed the table set styles. Right now I am told there are bugs in this, but I haven't been able to find them. What is important, switched my scroll direction. I don't know how it works. So here is the style guide page for tables. There's kind of 4 different types of table rows. There's an example title row, which uses our tbody directive. There are normal rows, which are where we want to put any type of normal editable content. Secondary rows, which are for showing content that, you know, might be about a group of rows or a second, or metadata about a specific row. But a user would not be doing any editing within that row. Then there's some styles in terms of how normal rows stack next to each other. And then there's normal rows, which have children where the normal row may or may not have editable content in it, but the child rows have content that, you know, will feed up into the normal child rows. And, you know, ideally with secondary rows that would group multiple child row or normal rows, they also aggregate that content. And typically content aggregates upwards instead of downwards. But that is what is outlined in this table style guide page. Josh mentioned the how to outline the ideal product model in tables. This table does show the styles. It uses different names for talking about the different pieces of content. But for, you know, most cases, like in a stock card page, an orderable that's a commodity type would be a secondary row because you're just looking at information about it, but you're not editing it. Trade items are normal rows, and trade items with lots are normal rows with children. And you'll notice that child rows have small little changes, such as they don't have a top separating border and their padding is actually cut in half so that they squish together a bit more visually than a normal row would. And that's really all I have to say.
Any questions about either of those?
I guess, was it, I forget who was presenting the stock on hand piece, but did that make sense, these styles as opposed to what we were seeing? Okay, maybe we'll just follow up.
I mean, you guys can follow it up and we can make more complete documentation. There is a ticket and some work that I've been doing, which is, you know, cleaning up a lot of documentation. And so maybe if I have some time today, I'll start making the documentation page for how to handle the ideal product model.
Okay, great.
Do we have a backlog of items that are kind of missing from the documentation, gaps in the documentation that need to be addressed?
You know, my thoughts on documentation is if it's not there, add it really quickly. And otherwise, don't keep a backlog for things you need to fix in documentation, because that's essentially just kicking the can. You know, documentation should be fast and messy until it firms up over time in editing. But, you know, if you don't see something, add it.
Yeah, and I'll try to, I've been sort of coordinating with Nick on these last UI documentation priorities. Nick's been writing some things to get a few last things in shape here before his last day. And so I think I can be a point person for just kind of knowing what UI documentation ends up where and going forward, what, if there are any gaps or, you know, ways to reorganize or things, I think I'll have my head around that at least temporarily here.
Yeah, and I think it's worth pointing out that we've kind of been coordinating all of the documentation in UI components in the docs folder as a bunch of markdown files. Where that documentation will be published within, like, you know, either the UI style guide or on the Read the Docs site, you know, probably will be posted to both eventually, but for now, you know, this is the best place to look.
Any other questions? Okay.
Great.
Cool.
So, I might have one question about the styles. I'm not sure I understand why you have the less padding on the right and left side for the child element. I totally understand if why you have the both on the top and the bottom, but.
You mean like this? The.
Yeah, especially on the total and on the name of the child row.
That's not intentional. I think it's maybe a bug in terms of the padding on the left and the right for the parent and child rows. They're actually, I guess that's a bug. They should be the same. I'll go change that briefly. The left and the right padding shouldn't change, just the top and bottom, so that it squishes.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions on this? Any other Team Ill things people want to share?
I think it's 2 hours. I don't need to bore anyone.
Yep. This was a long meeting. So any final announcements or anything before we adjourn?
Well, we just have 1 month to go. So again, when you're reviewing the sprint planning tomorrow, please be very judicious and asking questions. And if you think we're missing anything, since this will be our last sort of feature development sprint, everyone on the team, don't hesitate to ask questions and bring things up, since you know we've been working on a lot of different services and features, and so getting these to a demoable and releasable state is pretty important. So just let's be cautious on this next sprint to make sure we're only taking what we can do and making sure everything we do is top priority to getting a full release.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody. This was a big showcase. Thanks for staying over long, and have a good evening or rest of your day.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Goodbye, Nick, after the last showcase. So, bye. Thanks for working with us, and best of luck on your future endeavors.
Yeah, totally. Thank you, Nick, and good luck with everything.
Thanks, Nick. The same from the guys. Best of luck.
Yeah, thank you. I actually have all of your guys' emails pinned to the top of my inbox because I've been meaning to respond. But it's been a pleasure working with y'all at Soldevelo for, you know, quite a while at this point. Okay.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.